Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, and we will read from chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. Now it came to pass when Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king. So he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon. For it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. And they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that, before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Dear congregation, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, is to be a fighting church. We sometimes call this the church militant. We are called by the Lord to put on the whole armor of God, not lacking anything of that great armor which He has given to His church and people, which He has made for them on Calvary, and to clothe ourselves with that, and to fight the good fight of faith. No, we don't fight against physical enemies, but against spiritual ones in high places. And we are called to do so through prayer and by faith, looking unto the captain of our salvation, who is none other than the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the great question for all of us, as we hear this call, is, are you fighting under His leadership? Have you taken up sword and spear and shield and the whole armor of God? Or have you grown slack in fighting? Well, here in our text passage, we have in the Old Testament, we have a glorious picture of how life in battle looks like under our captain, Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. And we want to see this with lots of lessons from Joshua chapter 10. And I simply take here as my text verses 12 through 14. Let me read them again. Joshua 10, 12 through 14. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that, before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Thus far, God's holy word. Our theme with God's help is simply, Sun, stand thou still. We'll see, first of all, the setting of this remarkable prayer, the setting of this prayer, the meaning of this prayer, and then some applications for us today, some lessons drawn from this astounding prayer. Sun, stand still. Well, wouldn't you have wanted to live in the days of Joshua? I mean, these were spectacular days. For 40 years, the people had wandered in the wilderness, and the older generation had died off one by one. All those 20 years and older, they had been buried there in the wilderness. But now there was this new generation that was coming under the leadership of Joshua, and they were entering into the promised land. They were taking it by inheritance. And the Lord was fighting before them. The earthly captain indeed was Joshua, but the heavenly captain was the angel of the Lord. And he was among them, and he was fighting for them. And it was with his might and with his strength that the walls of Jericho had fallen down. And yes, there had been this whole incident with Ai, in which Ai had not been defeated the first round, because there was an Achan in the camp, because sin had been tolerated and the accursed thing had been kept and hid. But once that was rooted out, then Ai fell. And then there was this mysterious thing that happened with the Gibeonites. They were a group of Canaanites that had seen the power of God, and they had become fearful. And so they devised a plan. They sent a delegation to the Israelite camp, and they made it seem like they came from far away, and they came there to Joshua and the leaders of the people with tattered clothes and old crusty bread, and under false pretenses, they had made a treaty with them. And Israel's fault in this matter was that they didn't inquire of the Lord. They didn't go to the Lord and ask for His guidance and His help in this situation. They simply evaluated things as they saw them with their natural eyes, and they made a terrible mistake. And they were tricked into this covenant with the Gibeonites. And this includes Joshua, by the way. And they made vows, and they confirmed it with oaths in the name of the Lord. And yet, when all was said and done, they couldn't break these vows. It would have been wrong to do so. And so they kept these their vows. And as a result, the Gibeonites, this people, was part of Israel. They would be hewers of wood, the Bible says, and drawers of water. They would serve the Lord in their proper place, but they would be joined here with the people of God. But now came the real test. So all the other nations saw what had happened. They saw Jericho falling, Ai falling, and the whole Gibeonites now were part of the people of God. It was like dominoes. All these people were falling before the might of Israel and their God. And so five kings devise a plan. They are going after Gibeon. And sure enough, five kings with their armies head there towards Gibeon. What was Gibeon to do? Well, Gibeon cried out to Joshua, sent messengers, arrived there where Joshua was, about 20 miles away, told them what was happening. What do you think Joshua would do? Should you just leave these Gibeonites, these tricksters, to themselves? Let them fend for themselves. Let them fall. Let them fall into these hands. No, a vow is a vow, and these people, even having come through false pretenses into the people of Israel, they were to be defended. They were to be their alliance held, and Joshua and the armies of Israel ran to their help. Now, isn't that an encouragement already now to you? Sometimes you wonder whether you are rightfully the Lord's, whether indeed you, doesn't the Lord find in you many, many reasons to push you away? Haven't there been all kinds of mixed motives in your life? And when you look at that sometimes, you say, you know, if the Lord were to just leave me to myself, I would understand that in a way, considering who I am. But no, congregation, Joshua comes through the night, 20 miles. He comes to these people to help them in their need, to manifest that he is their deliverer, that he is their help. And if he did this, congregation, shouldn't we have every reason to take comfort and encouragement from the God of the Bible, that whatever lives in our heart, whatever it is that we have done, that when we cry unto God for his help and for his aid, in truth, looking to him, looking away from people, looking away from ourselves, looking to the Lord alone, the Lord himself says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will answer you, and you will glorify me. Well, that's exactly what happened in the case of these Gibeonites. Joshua runs to the aid of these dishonest and needy Gibeonites when they cry to him. And like the poet says, the soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, he will not desert to his foes. What a comfort this is for you, child of God, here tonight, wondering sometimes if the Lord hears your prayer, if the Lord will come to your aid. Well, Joshua traveled from Gilgal, where he was, to Gibeon, about 20 miles through the night. He's there. He's there at the breaking of the day. Sorrow might last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And there is Joshua in the morning, there to the aid of these Gibeonites. And he fights all day long for these Gibeonites. And the enemies are surprised. They're confused as Joshua and his armies fall on them. And God from heaven fights for these Gibeonites as well. So much so that these people are forced to flee. And as they're fleeing, the Bible tells us that God from heaven rains down giant hailstones, which killed more of the enemies than the swords of Israel killed. And it's amazing because none of the Israelites were harmed. All of these hailstones miraculously here, by the hand of the Lord, by the direction of God, they land here on the enemies of Gibeon and the enemies of the people of God. And God proves that he is a very present help in time of trouble. Well, this is the setting of this prayer of Joshua. We want to, in our second point, run to this prayer. It's a remarkable prayer. Sun, stand still. What had happened was the battle had lasted through the daylight hours of this remarkable day. But the sun is setting, and dusk is setting in. And Joshua and his men realize that these enemies are now, with the help of this darkness, they're able to slip away into the darkness. And maybe they'll escape there behind rocks and shrubs and caves. And maybe they'll just emerge once again when Joshua and the others are gone. And Gibeon is so vulnerable. And Joshua, as he thinks this all over, no doubt they're in the presence of the elders and they're strategizing all of this. Then something occurs to Joshua. And it must, Kelvin says, God gives this into his mind, this prayer into his mind. And Joshua, there in the presence of the elders and in the presence of Israel, he looks up to the sun and praying to God, he utters these remarkable words. Sun, stand thou still. Sun, stand still. And moon, stand still in your place as well. In other words, let this day go on and let this day continue until the enemy be wholly routed, until none of them be left. Now, lots of people have stumbled over this prayer and this miracle, which it was. This is a miracle. And no matter how much you try to explain it away, it's a miracle. Because there was no day like it before this, and there was no day like it after this. Sometimes people, they try to say, well, God made it so that it looked like the day was continuing, and the Lord made it look like, you know, the earth was stopping or whatever like that. Well, that's all man's wisdom. That's not what the text says. And the same God who spoke this world into being, this whole universe, putting the sun where it is, and the moon and the stars, and everything, and upholds it by the word of his power, so much so that not a hair falls from our head without his knowledge. Can this God not perform this miracle however he pleases? And indeed, I wasn't there, you weren't there. We're not told how exactly the Lord did this, how this earth may be slowed in its revolution around the sun. We're not given those details, and that's why we don't need to know those details. God has not seen it fit for us to know the exact way in which he's done all this. But one thing is sure, that Joshua's prayer was answered, and it was answered by an absolutely astounding miracle, whereby the sun still shone there, and the moon as well, and these armies did their thing until the people, the enemies, were routed. This was truly, as one has said, an astronomical miracle. It never happened before it and never happened after it. And so man can say what he wants. You'll find all kinds of things in books and on the internet as well in which people ridicule and they scoff the God of the Bible, and things like this that are written down in the Bible. But my friends, human thinking by itself, apart from the Word of God, is folly. And the Bible says that it's actually the reverse, that God from heaven laughs at the supposed wisdom of the nations and of the world. The nations are but a drop in the bucket, like the dust on the very balances of this universe. And shall the creature say to God, what art thou doing? You know, congregation, if the Bible says that the Lord made for a flood to cover this whole earth during the days of Noah, then I believe that. And if God says that he rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and destroyed those cities there in the plain, then I believe that. And if God, in the days of Moses, could bring 10 plagues that ruined Egypt, turning water into blood and so much else, then God can do anything he pleases. And if the Lord Jesus Christ could stand on a boat in the Sea of Galilee, in which there is seismic activity, in which there are waves that are far higher than the boat, and where it looks like these disciples are going to be swallowed up by this tumultuous sea in an instant, and Jesus has but to speak and to call the wind which he has made and the sea which he has made, and he's to say, stop. Creation listens to him. The waters hear the voice of Jehovah and they listen. And the sun, don't you think it listens to its maker and does whatever its maker tells it to do? In Psalm 19, we are told that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. The amazing thing, congregation, is not that this world, this universe in which we live, obey its creator. The real mystery is why you and me and humanity by nature don't obey our creator. That's the real mystery and the real surprise. If God says to the sun, stop, or whatever the Lord says, and the sun will do it in an instant. That's God. That's God's power. The Creator Himself speaks, and it is done. And congregation, if you doubt the miracles of the Bible, what will happen one day when this earth goes into its last day, which the Bible says will happen? There is a day coming when the sun will rise as it always has, but the sun will not set, because at some point, and the Lord alone knows, this earth will be rolled up like a scroll, the Bible says. In the twinkling of an eye, the Lord will speak and this earth will be done for what it has done for however long it's been there. It will be done, rolled up like a scroll. And there, everyone who has ever lived, everyone who is living, everyone who is in their graves, even those whose remnants are in the bottom of the sea, they will rise by the power of the God who created everything. And in an instant, every eye shall see Him. That's what the Bible says. And if that's going to happen, then why can't this happen? And indeed, it did happen. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? It was written down. It was such a stupendous miracle that Joshua or someone else said, write this down. Everyone needs to know this. For generations immemorial, this needs to know. This needs to be known. Well, congregation, this was a remarkable miracle. And do you know what the scriptures say? There was no day like it before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. In other words, here's this man, Joshua. Yes, a great hero, great champion of the people, but mere dust like you and like me. And he prays to the God of heaven, "Sun, make the sun stand still." And God bends His ear to Joshua. And He listens to Joshua. He listens to the voice of a puny man like you and like me. Isn't that astounding? Someone said, it's more of a miracle that God listened to the voice of a man than that the son listened to God. Because why would God listen to us like that? Why would God listen to our voices? But He listened to the voice of Joshua, and He still today listens to the poor and needy who cry to Him, who call out of their need to God. He still hears them. How do you know, you say? Well, think of this with me. What happened that day, a day I trust most of you know, that day when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, and He had set His face like a flint to go to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. And He's going through Jericho, that city where God did that mighty work. And there in Jericho, we read that there was a voice that was crying out, "Thou son of David, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the people said, shh, don't bother him. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's not going to listen to you. You're a blind beggar. But he cried all the louder. And we read in the scriptures that Jesus stood still. He stopped and he listened to that voice of that beggar that needed him, that cried for him. And that, dear friends, is as much of a miracle as the sun standing still in the universe, when the Son of God on His way to the cross listens to the voice of a man, a blind beggar who has nothing, who can do nothing in a certain sense, and he calls out for mercy. that Jesus stood still, and he said to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And blind Bartimaeus said, "Lord, open mine eyes that I might see." And you know what happened in that moment? The Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus, with healing in his wings, he opened Bartimaeus' eyes and he looked straight in the glorious face of the Son of Righteousness, the light of this world. Son, stand still. And this Jesus, dear friends, is still the same. He still hears beggars, blind ones, needy people, whoever you are, he still hears your cries, and he stops, as it were. And from heaven, he hears the needy when they cry. He saves their souls when death draws nigh. This God is our salvation. Dear friends, this is the mighty power of God. This is his ear-bending mercy. He turns to us in our need, in our want, and he comes and helps us. Son, stand still. That's the meaning of this prayer. God hears the cries to him, especially those cries for help in the fight of faith, in the fight of life. And don't we have that, all of us? And that's why we want to see here finally some final lessons and some applications from the words of our text. Son, stand still. Well, congregation, son, stand still is first of all a cry of faith. If nothing else, what Joshua was doing in that moment was he was believing that the God of Israel had the power and the willingness to defeat the enemies of Israel and to do so in a way that seemed impossible. You know, when you go to Hebrews 11 and you have the champions of faith, what do you read there? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, Rahab was spared. By faith, women received their dead children back again. And you might well, as well say here, by faith, Joshua made the sun stand still. And this is a lesson for you and for me here tonight. And it's this, that we need to believe the promises of the Lord. And in the fight of faith, it is the record God has given about his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we ought to hold so dear to our heart. And we ought to plead on it in our lives, in the lives of our families, and in our nation, and in our city, and wherever throughout this world, that Lord, grant to thy people faith to believe that thou canst do whatever thou dost please, and Lord, do it then. Do it for thy praise, and do it for thine honor. Whatever the Lord has done through this congregation throughout the many years of its existence, the Lord has done in answer to the faith of God's people, people like yourselves throughout the ages. God hears their prayers. God sends his word. God encourages the downcast. God spreads the seed of the word here in this city, in this area, but also throughout the four corners of this earth. The Lord does this in answer to faith, especially as God's people pray, as they storm the mercy seat of God, as they don't let the Lord go until and unless he blesses them. And the Lord is the same still today. And ought we not renew our vows to take hold of the Lord in prayer? No doubt there's a praying people here. But don't you find that like Moses, who lifted up his arms in prayer as Israel was fighting in the valley, our arms grow heavy, don't they? We need one another to hold up our arms. This congregation, you need to hold up the arms of your elders as they pray for God's blessing, as they pray for the path forward, and as they pray for strongholds of sin and rebellion around us and among us to come down. Sun, stand still is a prayer of faith. Secondly, sun, stand still is a prayer for total victory over our enemies. Really, Joshua's wish in that moment when he prayed it was that none of God's enemies would be able to continue on against God and against his Christ. And that these Gibeonites, these needy people who were suffering the onslaught, that they would be secure, that they would be safe under the wings of Jehovah, and that they would live trusting in Jehovah. And so he was longing for that. And if that longing is in your heart too, that all God's enemies would one day be defeated, and if possible, that they would be turned to God, to the service of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus taught us to pray for our enemies and to those who despitefully use us. And what that means is we don't wish upon them total destruction, not without them coming to repentance and giving an opportunity for that. And so this prayer for total victory includes this, that the gospel would go forward. Lord, send out the gospel that people who today are enemies of Jesus Christ would, like Saul of Tarsus, bend the knee and become friends of Jesus Christ. Lord, make thy Son to stand still. Make the day of grace to continue. May thy gospel go to the four corners of the earth. May people come under the scepter of King Jesus and learn to fight not against him, but for him. Lord, make the Son to stand still. And so, Son, stand still is not just a prayer of faith. It's not just a prayer for total victory, but it's a prayer that the gospel cause would be extended. You know that people called the days of the Reformation, they said about the days of the Reformation, after the darkness, light. And by that they meant that for centuries there had essentially been a darkness over the earth. And with the Reformation and the teaching of the Bible that went all over through the days of the Reformation, not just in Geneva, but in Germany and throughout all of Western Europe and beyond, that was light. And that gospel, dear friends, has gone far and wide. And sometimes we're concerned that the candlestick is being removed from our land and our nation. And we pray not so. And in a certain sense, we should pray this prayer: Lord, don't let the darkness come over our culture. Don't let the darkness of ignorance and paganism return like it once did to this land and nation. Let the Sun of Righteousness continue here in America, here in the Western world. But Lord, let the Sun of Righteousness shine wherever. And please, Lord, as long as this world continues, shine brightly the light of the gospel here and abroad. Do you pray like that? Do you pray Joshua's prayer in this sense? Lord, let the gospel continue. Let the brightness, the radiance of gospel light continue here and be spread to the four corners of the earth. Sun, stand still. Sun, stand still is also a prayer that the Lord would help us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. You know, Joshua was not praying here to have an easy way out. It's 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night. Dusk is settling. He must have been tired. In a certain sense, you would long for a night of rest, especially if the enemies are going away. There's weariness in his body and in the others around him. And by praying for the sun to stand still, that's a prayer for him to keep on fighting, not give up, but to redeem the time, because the days are evil. And so we as well, when we're praying that the gospel cause go throughout our world, at the same time we should be ready to labor while it is still day. He's not praying here that the Lord would just take this out of his hands and so he can lay his weary head on a pillow and be done. No, he wants to continue fighting and he wants the help of the Lord to do so. And so when we pray this prayer, Lord, let the gospel go throughout our world. Let light be there where now is darkness. We ought to be ready to work and work while it is yet day, and to give ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, he said, let us work while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. I am the light of the world, and whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. My dear friends, are you redeeming the time? For the days are evil. Are you realizing that your own life is every day is closer to the end? But you're not giving up, are you? You're praying this prayer, aren't you? And all the while, you're doing what the apostle said, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Well, lastly, this prayer, sun, stand still, is a prayer. It's a prayer. It's a prayer for that day when the sun will never again set. It's a prayer, isn't it, for that day in which there'll never be an evening, there'll never be a night, but it's that prayer for that new heavens and that new earth where there won't even be a sun, the Bible says in Revelation 21, because He will be the sun. The Lord Jesus will be the sun. The Lamb shall be the sun in the midst of it. And believe you me, that sun will never set. Jesus shall reign forever and ever. And there will never be a night. There will never be any darkness creeping into that world, that eternal world, that new heavens and that new earth. Don't you long for that day? Are you ready for that day? Is it true of you that your life is not your own, that you belong unto this Savior, Jesus Christ, this greater than Joshua that fights your battles for you, but that also equips you to fight from out of that resurrection life that He gives? Oh, my friends, that's the best life. It truly is. It's hard. It's costly. There are wounds in that fight, but He goes before us, and the victory is secure. And even in our darkest moments, let us pray, sun, stand still. Jesus, shine over my life. Shine over me. Don't let me grow disheartened. Don't let me grow discouraged. Let me have my hand to the plow and not look back. Let me work while it is yet day, because there is a time coming when the sun will never set, and I'll look forever into thy glorious face. And even now, when I do so, the things of this world grow strangely dim when you look at the glorious, unceasing brightness of Jesus' face. Are you with Him? Are you praying like this? Are you not letting the Lord go until His light shines on you, shines through your church, and until He reigns forevermore, may it be. Maranatha. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, how thy people's hearts often long and yearn for that day where there will not be any more darkness, no more dimness, no more dusk, where all sorrow and sighing shall flee away, and when we shall forever see the sun, the bright radiance of His splendor and glory, world without end. Lord, give a taste of that to thy people even today. Whatever circumstance they find themselves, that they can find this prayer to be their prayer. Sun, stand thou still. And like with Bartimaeus on the way to the cross, thou wouldst stand still and hear us. And shine over us and upon us. And be with any and all who know thee not, who are still fighting on the wrong side. Oh, Lord, win them over, even this evening, and help them for the rest of their days and the rest of their lives to experience the joy of knowing this Son of Righteousness, whom to know is life eternal. We ask all this In his name alone, amen.